Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation in chapter 3. Revelation in chapter 3. And I want to pick up reading with the last of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And the devil is at war with the church. And it ends up in the Laodicean church age, which is the age just prior to the rapture of the church. These seven churches of Asia Minor. So here's the last message, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Laodicean means people rule. We got there, got to the place in church history where much of the time the church belongs to the people and not to Christ. He said, this is the message from the Amen. That's the beginning and the end. The so be it. This is the message from the faithful and true witness. That is the immutable, unchangeable Jesus Christ. The beginning of the creation of God. The source of all truth. He said, this message is right from heaven. Look at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. There's nothing worse than a plate of cold religion. This is the church that Jesus has nothing good to say about. This is the church that is not on fire for God. They're not zealous and red hot like Philadelphia. They're not totally dead like Sardis. They're just kind of there. And it's nauseating. This is the church, we'll read it in the next verse, that is disgusting to God. I told you it'd be a heavy message. This is the church that is represented. This is the Christian that has, there's no zeal. There's no fire. And the word zeal here at the end of this text means to boil over. I mean, red hot. He said they're lukewarm. You know that kind of Christianity? Have you ever lived that kind of Christianity? Oh, I love Jesus, but no commitment. No stepping forward for God. No advancing the cause of Christ. He said, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. To me, and I know it's vogue today to have iced coffee. I'm a coffeeholic. I love coffee. To me, it is nauseating to drink lukewarm coffee. I do not like, I drink it, if it's all there, I'll drink it, you know, even cold coffee. But if I have my way, man, it just doesn't sit just right. I love the smell of coffee in the morning. Ah, man, it just kind of wakes me up and gets me going. I look forward to it. I go to bed at night thinking, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be able to smell that coffee. Now, I don't drink it all day long. I just drink it in the morning. I might have a cup at supper time. I'm getting old. Sometimes that happens. But I never drink it late at night, and I seldom drink it in the afternoon. But in the morning, I can have an IV. It just kind of goes into me all, you know, just regular and constant. But what Jesus says about the church, he says that church that is lukewarm and is just there, man, I want nothing to do with it. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, that's real nice language. You know what he's actually saying? It makes me want to vomit. It makes me want to regurgitate. These are people, some of them, that are born again. He died for all of them. But because they're lukewarm, some of them will never get saved. Let's read on here. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, not even God, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's so much self-promotion. And so much blame shifting and so much fulfillment. And they measure their success by things, the temporal things that never last. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Take that money and buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Invest in the things of God, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They're blind. This is the church that is spiritually blind, and as child, they have childlike gullibility. They just kind of accept things that come down the road at them. If it hits them just right, they accept it, and they don't use the Word of God as a measuring stick. My friend, I want you to know, brother and sister, that's where the church is today in the 21st century. We're in a sad position. Let me read a little bit more, all right? And then I'm going to preach my 3 points. All right, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. He said, get hot. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn back to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Wait a minute. This is the church of the Laodiceans, and Christ isn't even on the inside. He's on the outside. He says, I'm knocking. You're hearing my voice. Man, if you'll just open the door, I'll come in. It's not too late. It's not too late to get born again. It's not too late, if you are born again, to be revived. It's not too late to get on fire for God and be red hot again and be zealous and repent. I stand, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here's the message this morning. You got to know this. The devil is at war with the church. I've got 3 simple points that I want to somehow get to you. I want to somehow make it clear. Between 4,000 and 7,000, and the number varies. It depends on what you read and what research you read. Between 4,000 and 7,000 churches close every year in the United States of America. Do you understand that 100 to 250 churches close weekly, every single week? 74% of the population have no church affiliation. This is Christian America. This is the nation that was born on the gospel. This is the nation that God ordained to preach the gospel. And now we've gotten to the place in America where 74% have no church affiliation. Between 7 and 8 out of 10 people in America never, never attend church. Our nation is going to hell. And it's because the devil is attacking the church. I've got 3 simple points that I want to share with you this morning. You might want to get a pen. It's about the devil. I want to preach on the devil's big lie. I've used that title before. Maybe you didn't. This message is fresh off the altar. But the devil's big lie and what he is trying to do. It is a war. Up in Edmonton, Alberta, I just checked this morning. I just checked it out. I wanted to be right up to date. Pastor Coates, who was taken in handcuffs and chains and shackles and put in jail because he was guilty of having a church service, and their version of the health department and the RCMP, they came and arrested him. That happened February the 17th. He was told when he stood before the magistrate that if he agreed not to have church, they'd release him. He said that would go against my convictions on the Word of God, and I'm going to have church the minute you release me. He had a hearing this last week, and he was reprimanded back to jail, and his trial is not going to be held until May the 17th. He isn't getting enough food. I don't know if you've ever been to jail, but if you're an athletic person that burns up a lot of calories, you don't always get the cell is usually cold. I understand that. It's supposed to be punishment. I understand that. But this is a man who is not a criminal. This is a man, his guilt, his crime is preaching the gospel, fulfilling his calling. The church is still open, by the way, and other churches are opening up right now across Canada as well. But this is a test case. We need to pray for him. And I would tell you, the church is under, the devil is at war with the church. I got a phone call this last week. I wasn't here, so I returned his call, and I'm pins and needles because a lot of phone calls I get aren't good phone calls, especially now that we're live streaming. So I called him, and this man stammered just a little bit and introduced himself as Ron, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know that the reason I thank you for calling me back, I want you to know I'm getting ready. Okay, what's the big deal? What doesn't he agree with? He said, I just want to encourage you. I said, oh, that's nice. We don't always get those kinds of phone calls. And he said, I haven't seen my wife for months. She's in a nursing home and they won't let me see her. I'm 88 years of age. I've been watching your live stream. I've been turned on to your live stream by my son. And I want to encourage you. I've been an usher in my church for 60 years. but they've turned left. They no longer give an altar call. I've talked to them. Nobody seems to care. I said, Pastor, I'm a brokenhearted man, and I just want you to know that the live stream services that I've been watching, they've been so encouraging to me. I said, Ron, if you don't mind, you can call me your pastor. And there was a real long pause. And you know, there are people out there that are hurting, and the devil is at war with the church and your family. Let me tell you something about the devil here very quickly. Let me state the obvious. He's not your friend. He's not in your corner. He don't want to help your children. He isn't going to do your family any good. So to listen to him, that's foolhardy. That is foolish. And he who is God's enemy ought not to be your friend and ought not to be my friend. We refer to him as, or he is referred to as Lucifer. That was his angelic name. We don't really call him Lucifer anymore. And you need to understand, John 8 and verse 44, he is the father of lies. When he lies, he is speaking his native tongue. Diabolos, deceiver, prince of darkness, Beelzebub, the beast, the red dragon, the prince of this world. The devil does not have red skin and pointy horns and a pitchfork and a cape. That's not the devil. That is not the devil of the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that he is beautiful. And he comes that way when he approaches mankind. And we need to understand he is our enemy. There's so many people hurting today. Pornography is running rampant in America. And if you've got a son that has a cell phone, it's come in touch with him. And it has ruined so many men. So many men. It's become their God. It's like nicotine. You need to understand the devil is behind all of that. You name the immorality. You name the wickedness. You name the debauchery that has taken place in our culture of death. Our culture of darkness. And the prince of darkness, he's all about that. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke in chapter 22. In verse 31. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31. I'm asking you to think about this and do some practical things. If there's a problem with the cell phone, if there's a problem with the internet, if there's a problem with certain places that you go, then you need to make some changes in your lifestyle and not go there anymore. Not set yourself up for failure. If you're someone that you can get a victory over your sin for a period of time, and then you fall off the edge of the precipice and it just goes real bad and you feel guilt and you're guilt-ridden because of it, then what you ought to do is get your eyes on Jesus Christ and quit setting yourself up for failure. Because you'll never outsmart the devil. You'll never outsmart him when it comes to sin. It says in Luke in chapter 22, Jesus speaking to Peter without reading all of the background, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, listen up, heads up. Satan hath desired the prince of darkness, Beelzebub, Diabolos, the deceiver, the father of all lies, hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He don't want to bless you. He wants to destroy you. And he wants to destroy everything about you and your family and your offspring and your grandchildren. He wants it to run downhill, and he wants to destroy everybody he can. Understand, the devil is not your friend. It is so obvious. You won't make it without God. You do need to know that. Don't buddy up with Beelzebub. Don't play footsie with the devil and with the flesh. Laodicea, the church that we read about in Revelation chapter 3, became friends with the world, with the cosmos. Two Greek words for world, cosmos and Aeon. One means the culture and the other means the age. And the church at Laodicea became a culture-driven church. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John in chapter 2. We got to be careful. We have to be aware of this. We can't pretend it is not there. There's nothing wrong with the church being in the world. That's our calling. That's exactly what we're called to. We're to be a lighthouse in the world. We're to stand out, the city on the hill. We're to stick out like a sore thumb. We're to be different in every sense of the word. There's nothing wrong with the church in the world. That is the calling of God for you and for I. But there is something wrong with the world in the church. when the world, the culture gets inside the Christian, that's a big problem. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's pretty plain spoken there. John kind of hits it right in the head. Don't love the world, and don't love the things in the world. Paul said to the church of Corinth, everything you can see, temporary. It's all temporary. Don't be foolish enough to live for the temporary. Live for the eternal. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Man, there's a lot more here. I'm just going to move to the next point. The devil is not your friend. The devil's big lie, diabolos, the father of all lies. If there's certain people, when you hang around them, you're tempted to do wrong, then you better stop hanging around that crowd, because they're going to do you wrong. They may not even be doing it on purpose, but there are powers, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. There's powers, that there's a war going on, and you're being set up, and you know better. Your eyes are spiritually open, but you listen to the sirens of the world, and you're going to end up, everything's going to fall in. Everything's going to be destroyed unless you get your eyes back on Jesus. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. He's not your friend. By the way, he's not omnipresent. He's not deity. He's not God. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He can't make you sin. He just feeds your flesh, and you set yourself up. Smarten up, all right? Number two, the devil will tell you this. There's no difference between the sacred and the secular. Go to Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6. And verse 24. Man, that don't look right. Look at verse 19. Maybe it's verse 19. Oh, I'm in chapter 5. Here we go. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whatever you choose to treasure, that's where your heart is going to be. That's where your desires are going to be. Be careful what you feed. You know, there was a time when I fed everything into my mind was football. And I developed a love for football. There was a time in 1971, 72, 73, 74, it was all about snowmobile racing. And I knew everything about everybody. I knew all the point leaders. I knew who was in our circuit. I knew who I had to beat that given weekend. I knew what kind of slate. I knew what setup they were running on their track. I knew all of that because I just made it. I just loved it because I treasured it. That's where my heart was. Then I finally surrendered to God. I started treasuring the things of God. And when you treasure the things of God, that's where your heart is. By the way, be careful the loves that you develop in the hearts of your children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, I said the devil will tell you there's no difference between the sacred and the secular. Half-big church. If you act different on the ball field than you do in church, the devil's got you. Everything is sacred to the child of God. Everything. You smoke outside, out there at your home, but you never think about smoking in the house of God. The devil's got you. You have the presence of God and the indwelling spirit of God everywhere you go as a child of God. There is no difference between the sacred and the secular. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman and you cheat people on the side and then you stand up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday morning, the devil has you. You, in your mind, you have been convinced this is business. That's different. This is church. That's another thing. No, no, not for the child of God. Jesus said, you pick up your cross and you follow me. You surrender. You go all out. You lay up treasures in heaven. It's 24/7. It's all the time. There is no difference between the sacred and the secular. You got to get that mindset. You got to get that biblical understanding, that discernment. Number three, things will never bring permanent joy. If you think they will, then you have been lied to by the Holy Spirit. You see the commercial for the new truck. I got to have that pickup truck. If I had that pickup truck, man, I'd be fulfilled in life. Isn't that foolish? Man, I gotta have that clothing. I've gotta have that pair of shoes. I've gotta have, if I had that kind of money, boy, if I had that job, then everything will be fulfilled in my life. Listen, you need to serve God and love God right now. And as a child of God, understand that things never bring permanent joy. Look at stay here in Matthew in chapter 6. And look at verses 19. No, look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. You say that's oversimplification. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said this. You can't serve two masters. You hate one or you'll love the other and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You say, preacher, what does the word mammon mean? It is a word, I think a similar word in modern English would be gain. You can't love God and make gain. And you can fit that all over your life, your goal in living. You can't do that. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. It's really quite simple. Jesus did speak in plain language. And so understand this. Things will never bring permanent joy. Fourth thing is this. The devil will lie to you and tell you there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. Go to Revelation. Go back to Revelation. Revelation in chapter 3. I mean, aren't we all Christians? And don't we all worship the same God no matter what's over the door? Aren't we all children of God? No. Theologically, that is all wrong. You forget about what's over the door. That is denominations. In that way, American denominations aren't even mentioned in the Word of God. Forget about that. We aren't all worshiping the same God. We are not all sons of God. That's not how it works. There is no spark of divinity in any one of us until we get born again. And that spark of divinity is actually the person of the Holy Spirit that's living within us after you get born again. Does that make sense? So as a people of God, we need to understand that there are not a lot of ways to heaven. I already alluded to this. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The church at Laodicea thought they were wearing robes of righteousness, but they were wearing rags of sin. They thought they were rich, but they were spiritual paupers. They were wretches. That's what Jesus said. They maybe had good things, nice things, and big money and offerings and the nicest of everything else, but they were paupers. He said, buy some eye salve so that you'll not be blind. Oh, let's look at one more passage. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Unless you think I'm lying to you, I might have you turn to one more after this. Right? No, I'll just quote it. But here's what the devil's good at. Blinding the eyes of people. Saved and unsaved. What happens when a Christian falls back into sin and gets into the culture and gets back into the world is everything becomes foggy. Where does that fog come from? That lack of discernment. The devil himself playing with the flesh of mankind. He said, and then of course he blinds the minds of those that aren't born again, that aren't saved, and they think maybe everybody's kind of going to heaven. And look what it says here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully or deviously, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Bible truth, it works. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. That's what he tells us, to bring people out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of light. That's what we're supposed to do as children of God. So the devil specializes in confusion. As a matter of fact, God, Paul said, is not the author of confusion. That's from the father of all lies. He'll fog up the issue and send them enough smoke screen and there'll be no discernment and you just won't know what to do. How many have ever been in a whiteout? You live in the Upper Peninsula. I'm sure every hand could go up. I haven't been in a whiteout in a while. I was on our honeymoon. We were in a 5-car accident. That was a whiteout. That was right on Mackinac Trail. That was on Don Bell's, right up in front of his farm, or Dave Bell's farm now. And I didn't even know them then, but that was on our honeymoon. That was a terrible day. I borrowed my best friend's 1972 Cherry Nova. Oh, he loved that car. Well, I took care of that for him. He didn't have that problem after that. A week ago, I think it was Monday, because I was talking to Tom about this, Tom Smart. I was coming down M129. I had to, because there was some kind of big bust being made by Homeland Security or something over on Mackinac Trail. I went up on I-75, clear sailing all the way, coming back. I said, I'm going to go down Mack Trail, because that's covered, you know. Oh, can't. So they sent us that way. I think that might be 9 mile, 8 mile, something like that. I think it's 9 mile, where they turned me right. And I wanted to come this direction, of course, come to the south. And I got in an old-fashioned Upper Peninsula whiteout. There were three of us traveling together, watching one another's taillights. I was praying for the guy that was leading. I was in the middle praying for the guy behind me that he didn't rear-end me. And we went from 5 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour to 20 to 3 miles an hour to 10 miles an hour to dead stop. Those dead stops, that's when my heart's going like this. You know, because you get rear-ended real easy that way. Praise God for the rumble strips they now have on our highways. You can drive by Braille. You could be a blind man and make it. You know, okay, right there. And that's terrible, man. The blood pressure goes up. That there are many. And then I met Tom Smart, Tom and Janet. They have a delivery business. And right when I got into the clear, praise God, look at Bear Highway and everything. And I took off and I saw them and they're going right into it. And I prayed for them because I knew what was ahead for them. I don't know if they knew what was ahead. I'm sure they didn't, but I knew what they were going to have to face. And apparently you made it. All right, Tom, where are you at in the auditorium? Yeah, you made it home. No head-on collision. Amen. All right. So those whiteouts, those are terrible. Those are white knuckle things, is what they are. I can drive in anything, but if I can't see, that's scary. I'm an old-time Uper. I can drive on the ice. I can drive in the snow. I can drive in the blizzard. No big deal. I jump snow drifts. That's all part of life. But when you get those whiteouts, man, there are a lot of people in the Christian life that are in a whiteout right now. They have no idea. You could end up going in the wrong direction, my friend. You could end up sideways on the road. You could drive right down into the ditch. Man, no discernment, because Satan has blinded your eyes. Unsaved, it's foolishness. Nothing makes sense because Satan has blinded your eyes to the truth. One last thing the devil will do. He'll let you think you got all kinds of time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here, you know what? I remember reading this illustration a long time ago about a council meeting. It's fictitious. A high council meeting. Could be something like it. Happens all the time, though, in the kingdom of darkness. And Lucifer is upon his throne. And these demons come before him. So we've got to find a way to keep man from getting saved. And the first little demon, he kind of slithers in, a real dark demon. He slithers in and says, I got an idea. Let's make man think God is dead. And the devil says to him, we tried that in the 60s and man didn't buy it. Find the door, Mr. Demon. And the second demon comes in and says, let's let man think that there's all kinds of ways to heaven. That you get saved doing all kinds of, you know, you can worship Allah and you'll be born again. You know, it's just another name for the same God. Let's confuse man that way. And Lucifer says, demon, find your way out of here. That isn't, man is smarter than that. And then a dark demon enters into the room. And he slithers up to the throne. Say, Mr. Devil, sir, let's let man think that there's only one way to heaven. Let's let man think and understand that God is alive. But then let's convince man to wait. He's got lots of time. You know how many people go to hell thinking that way? I'll serve God one day. Religion, that's for old ladies and little children. Someday I'll get right with God and I'll become a godly old man. Someday I'm going to get saved. Someday I'm going to receive Christ as my Savior. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We all think we're going to live forever right now in this body, and things are going to go on tomorrow just like they did today. But we don't know that.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.